belted to right field. Ryan O'Hearn has a grand slam. Turn and burn O'Hearn.
Pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep left field. Way back there. It is gone. Another grand slam. Whit Merrifield's fourth hit of the night is a grand slam, and the Royals lead it 12-1.
I get satisfaction out of the grand slams. I like four runs on one swing. That's the satisfaction that I get. But, you know, it's always fun to watch kids, you know, add to their story, if you will. O'Hearn's worked so hard and has struggled this part, but, you know, big, you know, grand slam in his home state is kind of cool. And Whit's story, you know, from what he's been able to accomplish since he's been here, it's just been amazing.
Royals win two grand slams in one game. Odds are you're going to win. Two grand slams, one game. That's eight runs.
Two swings, exactly. You're doing pretty good, in good shape there.
Not bad. Whit Merrifield a grand slam, but the first one was Ryan O'Hearn. Royals up 8-0. Cruz a 12-2 win over the first place Astros at Minute Maid Park. Jorge Soler with a monster shot as well last night as the Royals continue to hit home runs. And it's the second time in Royals history that they have hit two grand slams in the same game. Do you know when the first time they did that, and the only time up till last night?
I do. I actually had that in my sportscast.
Okay. All right. What's the answer?
It's August something of 2004.
Okay. And who hit the home runs?
It was...
I know Abraham Nunez was one.
Abraham Nunez and John Buck.
John Buck.
Yep.
John Buck. I had a John Buck jersey because they were the cheap jerseys they hand out at Royals games.
Yeah, I remember that.
John
actually.
Buck. Wow. Because we got him in the Carlos Beltran trade.
Yeah.
Which wasn't that great of a trade after everything that happened. And Beltran now may be a Hall of Famer. Royals currently have 128 extra base hits. That's fifth most in the majors. And they had seven extra base hits from seven different players last night. 21 triples in 37 games. They're on pace for the most triples in a season since 1935. I don't know if that translates into winning. Apparently not. But
guess not.
It did last night anyway. The Royals do get it done by a final of 12-2. And the Royals will be back in action coming up today as they will take on the Astros again. It'll be Jorge Lopez on the hill for KC against Brad Peacock for Houston as the Royals do get the W. And Danny Duffy fired 6 2/3, strong innings, 5 strikeouts, first win of the season. Of course, just the other day, the Royals scored 15 runs over the Tigers. So suddenly the Royals are, you know, the problem is they probably won't score tonight.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Well, here's the good news. At least they don't have to face Mike Fiers, who used to be with the Astros. You hear what Mike Fiers did last night?
I didn't.
Swing and a miss. He did it. He did it. Mike Fiers, for the second time in his career, has thrown a no-hitter. Tonight he no-hits the Cincinnati Reds. Sensational performance by the A's right-hander Mike Fiers. Wow.
That was the 300th career no-hitter in the history of Major League Baseball. And Mike Fiers, who nobody could identify in a lineup, has two.
Two of them now.
Has two. And he threw 131 pitches last night late on the West Coast as the A's beat the Reds 2-0. A couple of outstanding defensive plays. Because almost every time you get a no-hitter or a perfect game, there's at least one really, really good defensive play to save your bacon. And sometimes you have a one-hitter. It's because the guy didn't make that great play. That's the difference between a no-hitter and sometimes having to settle for a one-hitter. And it was a close game, too. So you had to think about winning the game. Mm-hmm. And then had he given up a walk there? Do you take the guy out with the tying run at the plate and hits a homer? And after all, you go 8 2/3, no-hit ball, and then get a no decision? Managers think about that stuff. I think they still would have let him pitch. But 131 pitches, and Mike Fiers, his second career no-hitter. Go figure. He has more no-hitters than a lot of great pitchers. A lot of great pitchers.
Definitely.
It's kind of like baseball or golf. Like, I have a friend that he's a really, really good golfer. And he has one career hole-in-one. I have one career hole-in-one.
Yeah.
And I'm not even close to as good as he is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how do you not have more hole-in-ones? Yeah, you play a lot more. Yeah. You're a lot better. Well, it takes a little bit of luck. Anyway. Okay, local sports information.
Yes, we have our Athletes of the Week that you can find at ncksports.com. We told you about them earlier this week on Monday with our KEMFA State Powerlifting Champions from the area are the Athletes of the Week. St. John's Senior Cale Dubert, Lincoln Senior Michaela Brenneman, and Lincoln Freshman Reagan Stewart. Kale took the championship in the men's 156-pound division and lifted a total of 770 pounds. Michaela Brenneman, champion of the women's 123-pound division, and lifted a total of 455. And Reagan Stewart was the champion in the 105-pound women's division, lifting a total of 350 pounds. So you can read much more about them on NCKSSports.com, Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. I have a coaching story coming up later today. I need to get confirmation on everything. Hopefully we'll have a breaking story out this afternoon for you of an area coaching position that's going to be filled here later today. Also, later today, we should have the brackets for the regional baseball and softball. Beloit will be hosting their first round games, softball will host first round next week, and we'll get a complete look at that once we have the official bracket in front of us. We'll be able to tell you everything about the regional baseball and softball coming up next week. Those should be released hopefully late this morning, and I should have that information on my sportscast at noon. So it should be a local sports day here that we'll be able to tell you about a few different things. So that's coming up later today here on KD Country 94 and Z96.3 Sports.
All right. The KU men's basketball program last night secured a commitment from the third member of its 2019 recruiting class when four-star forward Tristan Inaruna, I don't know how you pronounce it for sure, announced his commitment on Twitter just before 8 o'clock last night. In a phone conversation with the Lawrence Journal-World, the 6'9" forward, he's in Mount Pleasant, Utah right now. That's where he's playing. Said KU's history, tradition, and standing among college basketball's blue blood programs is what sold him on picking Bill Self and Kansas. He's 6'9", 205. He can play multiple positions on the floor. He's very versatile. He's a really good passer. Loves the pass, in fact. But he's also a good scorer, and he was ranked 44 out of the recruits in the top 100, ranked 44th. He picked KU over Creighton in Miami of Florida, and he seems to be a kid that is rising. And, of course, we know what happened with Abaji last year. Nobody was really, he wasn't really big time on the radar, and KU grabbed him, and now he's probably their best pro prospect on the roster, at least coming off of last season. Although Udoka Azubuike now has decided to come back, although I still think Abaji's still the better pro prospect, to be quite honest with you. Dan, that was good news for KU. Bad news for K-State. We had Riley Gates on at GoPowerCat.com yesterday, our Wildcat insider. He said it didn't look good that Caleb Grill, the star from Mays, would go to K-State, and he was right. He has chosen Iowa State over UNLV, and K-State has a chance to play probably more immediately at Iowa State than at K-State. So guard Caleb Grill of Mays spurns the Wildcats and UNLV and chooses the Cyclones, which, you know, not too long ago, I think there were people who were optimistic he'd choose K-State. He said he got torn both ways. People said, you got to go to K-State. And he had people saying, dude, you can't go to K-State, you know. And so he was torn both ways from KU and K-State fans and decided to go, I guess, neutral, Iowa State.
Yeah, I when Iowa State offered him, I was fairly confident that's where he was going. Yeah, he fits that system so well.
I agree.
Because I've actually seen him play in person and know what kind of skill set he has. And it's like, man, Iowa State offered him. I'm like, I don't think he's coming to Manhattan. I really felt like he was going to Ames the whole time.
And he is. He's going to Ames unless he has a change of heart. Game 7, one of the best things in sports, if not the best thing. Last night, the National Hockey League playoffs, it was the Blues. It was the Stars. Game 7, season on the line. Two overtimes.
Here's Thomas. He stick handles in. Thomas off the goal post. It's loose. They score. St. Louis native Patrick Maroon is the hero in double overtime for the Blues.
Clearly, home ice was the difference in that one. 2-1, Blues over the Stars in double overtime. St. Louis wins the series 4-3. Another scintillating game 7 on the way tonight. Avalanche at the Sharks. I think the Sharks are going to win that game, but I'm going to really pull for the Avalanche. They've kind of been an upset darling so far in the playoffs, and this would be an upset if they knocked out the Sharks in the series. 8 o'clock from San Jose tonight on NBC Sports Television. Series tied 3-3, winner take all, game 7, Avs versus Sharks. Game 1 between the Hurricanes and Bruins in their conference finals begins tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On NBC Sports Television, Hurricanes are certainly a surprise here in the playoffs. The playoffs in the National Hockey League have been very surprising for the most part. Some of the top teams knocked out first round. Of course, the best team all season long swept in the first round. So it has been very entertaining, to say the least. The NBA playoffs last night, talking about the excitement of a Game 7 last night in hockey and close games. The NBA's had some really good games, a quadruple overtime game between the Trailblazers and Nuggets. But last night, two games that, let's just say they weren't very close.
Rebound comes down to Millsap. He attacks the rim, leans in on Kanner. Banker, no good.
Nuggets roll the Blazers 124-98 last night. Jokic, another big game, 25 points, 19 rebounds. Blazers have no answer for him. He's also really good at passing the ball. That's one thing that's kind of unheralded about him. He's a 7-foot guy that he has tremendous touch. I mean, last night I saw a couple of baseball passes down the whole length of the floor on the money. Mm-hmm. Now, LeBron's done that before, but Jokic can do it. He's only 24, and he's only going to get better as long as he stays healthy. 25 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists, and Jamal Murray is turning into a star before our eyes, and I never thought he'd be that good. So the Nuggets have two marquee centerpieces of their organization for years to come. Yeah. As long as they stay healthy. I mean, you got a point guard and a center, and a guy that, as a center, can play kind of almost like an off guard at times. It's insane what the Nuggets have, and a lot of people have slept on them all year long. You were sitting there going, you want the Nuggets. I was sitting there going, yeah, Oklahoma City gets the Nuggets. That's great. And who knows? Maybe they'll be the team in the NBA Finals and knock off the Warriors. And now, we remember before the Spurs series started, I remember saying, you know, sometimes you want something really bad, and then you're like, oh, great, we're better off not playing that team. The Nuggets have been underrated all year long, and it's really a shame because if they were on the East Coast or the West Coast, they would have gotten a lot more pub. They were like a game or two behind Golden State for the number one seed. They're really good.
Yeah. Win or lose, the Spurs still got the best first-round matchup they could have. I mean, it went 7 games, and they're in a situation to probably go up 2-0. So I still feel like they got the best matchup they could have as a Spurs fan. But, yeah, the Nuggets are doing what they need to do to get themselves in the right position, and, you know, they can go into Portland. They've got home court for Game 7 again. So, you know, they're looking obviously a favorite to get to the final.
Remember, the conference Nuggets finals. Are a young basketball team, and so they probably had to shake off some of that in that first series against the Spurs. And once they survive that, they seem to be all right. So Nuggets up 3-2, Game 6 coming up in Portland. And the Raptors last night beat the 76ers. Joel Embiid is just, he has an upper respiratory problem. You could tell he was just not himself last night. And if he's not himself, the Sixers, I think, are toast. Here's Kawhi Leonard. With 2 of the many points for Toronto last night.
Up the court, far side. Gets to the basket, kick out Gasol. Lobs to Kawhi Leonard, who lays it in. Kawhi went up. That ball, he caught that ball like Aaron Judge catching a fly ball.
Kawhi Leonard does have big hands. I mean, it's amazing that some these guys can hold a basketball like it's a tennis ball or a golf ball. It is amazing. Kawhi Leonard, 21 points, 13 rebounds. Raptors roll the Sixers, 125-89. This is what's great about best-of-7 series, but not great if it's your team on the losing end. After Game 1, Toronto smoked the Sixers. Oh, Toronto's got this series. Then the Sixers win Game 3 in Philadelphia. They're up 2-1. Embiid's doing airplane gestures and playing great. And you're sitting there going, the Sixers, Paul Pierce said, they just have more talent. They're going to win the series. All of a sudden, Toronto finds a way to win Game 4. Embiid's not healthy. He's somewhat sick, hadn't practiced, and didn't do shoot around. And the Raptors find a way. Kawhi Leonard with a monster performance. That game and that performance by Leonard saved the season for the Raptors and changed the whole complexion of the series. Then you go to Game 5 in Toronto, and Embiid's still having problems health-wise. And like I said, without a healthy Embiid, I don't think the Sixers go anywhere. And now all of a sudden, it's like, Raptors are going to win this thing. What happens to Philadelphia? Embiid gets back to his normal self for Game 6. Sixers win Game 6. Now who's going to win Game 7? You'd have to go with the home team.
Yeah.
But 82% of all NBA playoff series in a 2-2 tie, 82% of the time, the team that wins Game 5 wins the series.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing percentage. 82%, which means that the Nuggets and the Raptors are moving on, although they haven't yet.
Yeah, no, they have not. They have not done it yet. But, yeah, your odds are definitely in their favor, especially what we talked about with the fact that they're the home team in Game 7, too. So that gives them a little bit of an edge there.
Which means a huge game tonight. Rockets at Golden State, Game 5, series tied 2-2. It's 9:30 on TNT tonight. And the Bucks, I think, they'll close out the Celtics tonight. But if they don't, all of a sudden the Celtics go, hey, we get one at home, and of course, they lost the first two at home. Where the odds Celtics can lose 3 straight in a series at home, I would say, is highly doubtful.
Yeah.
So I think if you're the Bucks, you always got to step on Step on the throat and finish
it. Oh, yeah. Get it done tonight at home and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's obviously the motivation for any team for any game, but
no doubt.
Especially in a situation like this.
Bucks up 3-1, chance to close that out coming up tonight. And then tomorrow will be game 6, Toronto at Philadelphia, and Denver at Portland as the NBA playoffs roll on. Other sports information to pass along to you. Ohio State quarterback is transferring to TCU. Don't know if you know much about him, but he seems to be a talented guy. Any guy plays quarterback at one point or another for Ohio State is pretty talented. Matthew Baldwin is going to go to TCU, and he is going to file for immediate eligibility, which he may or may not get. I don't know, but he has 3 years eligibility left, and he's going to go to TCU. So TCU, a pretty big get when it comes to a talented quarterback that was with Ohio State. Back to the NBA. You know, Oklahoma City lost in the first round of the playoffs, and not to make excuses, they lost in 5, so it's not like it was super tight, although a couple of games were tight. Russell Westbrook didn't have a great series. Paul George was really good, but we knew he was hurt. He'd been hurt for a while. He had rotator cuff surgery. He played through a lot of pain. People don't really realize it. And then Russell Westbrook had a torn ligament in his finger and had to have that fixed, which can you imagine how that affects when you shoot the ball if you have a torn ligament? So now I don't know if it was on his shooting hand or not. He also had surgery on his knee, did Westbrook. Probably had a scope, I would imagine. It was his left hand where he had the torn ligament, did Westbrook. So it's his off hand, although you still need that to make your shot, but it's not your shooting hand. And George had elective surgery on his right shoulder to repair a partial thickness tendon tear. And he also is going to address a small labrum tear in his left shoulder. And, you know, we talk about the playoffs, whether it's the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, the NFL playoffs. In order to go deep or to win a championship, you need to be lucky from an injury standpoint. And, you know, we talked about that with the Royals back in 2014 and 15. They didn't have a very deep rotation, but their rotation stayed healthy.
Yeah.
You know, if Volquez would have got hurt that year, they'd have been toast probably. And their bullpen stayed healthy for the most part. You know, Eric Hosmer, Moustakas, all those guys stayed healthy for the most part. And then you see these teams that get to the playoffs and have a really good year, and all of a sudden you got a guy like, well, Joel Embiid would be a great example, or Paul George would be another good example. You know, Murray's banged up for the Nuggets. I've been watching him. Every guy's got nicks and bruises. There's no question right now. Cantor for the Trailblazers is playing with a separated shoulder. But he has to play because their starting center had a gruesome leg injury about a month ago. He has to play. Or the Blazers are completely toast with nothing inside.
Yeah.
So when you get to this stage, the wear and tear of a 162-game Major League Baseball season, the wear and tear of a 16-game football season, the wear and tear of 82 NBA games, that's not even counting when you add in the playoff games as you go, it is a lot to put on the human body. And I think sometimes we just think these guys are robots.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're
he just needs to suck it up. He's got a quad contusion. Yeah, he's also got about 15 other injuries that I don't know about.
Yeah, they're such insane, like, physical specimens that you feel like they're superheroes.
Great training
when you
staffs
go out
in the world.
Yeah, and you go out and do those things. And yeah, it's you can see. I mean, I've, as a Spurs fan, have seen what one injury can do to a team in the playoffs.
So, absolutely.
And then what one injury can do to a team for forever.
That changed the complexion of the Spurs, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's always something you got to worry about is can he stay healthy? Can you have the right guys on the court to be able to to get that ultimate goal, or on the field, or wherever you're at, whatever sport you're in. Hockey probably has to deal with those things too. So, it's always important to stay healthy and have good trainers, obviously, because it's a wonder you don't see more of some of these big-time guys going down and changing the way the playoffs are finished up and the path for each team to a championship.
Even horses. Country House, who won the Kentucky Derby, is going to look like going to skip the Preakness, no Triple Crown, because it has a cough.
Yeah.
So, never heard that a horse was pulled out because of a cough. But
interesting.
Just wilder things coming up in horse racing. It just it makes it very peculiar.